Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The reading we'll consider today comes from John's first epistle, chapter 1, verse 8, through chapter 2, verse 2. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for also the whole world. Here ends our reading. In the name of our most gracious advocate, dear fellow redeemed. 40 years ago, a popular song hit the airwaves that boldly stated in the chorus, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." Now, while the song was meant to be humorous, it's hard to deny that many no doubt feel this way in their day-to-day lives. After all, when someone's at fault, it can't be us, right? The world would have us believe that there is not a bad bone in our bodies and that things like good and evil are subjective ideas from previous generations trying to keep control over people. But we know from the Word of God that we are not perfect and that we are sinners. We daily fight the flesh that so eagerly wants to sin. We cannot with good conscience say that we are perfect in any way. John's text shows us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But he also tells us that we have an advocate with the Father, and that advocate is Jesus Christ, who is perfect in every way. We have an advocate in Jesus Christ, and it is in Him that we have our hope. The text of 1 John is interesting. Toward the end of the first chapter, he writes plain and clear that sin has permeated every pore of our beings by his different statements. For one statement, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. He shows that we are only fooling ourselves in such a vain attempt to distance ourselves from sin. People may get the notion that they're able to save themselves from any and every problem that comes their way, but they are sorely mistaken. It is vanity to think so. It is not truth. The text also says that we make a liar out of God for declarations such as that. God is not fooled by us or any attempts that we make to pull the wools over His eye, as you will. Just as God knew the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden without them telling Him, He also knows the sins that we might attempt to bury in our hearts and minds. And it's a damning thing to be apart from God, and the text clearly states that His word is not in us at that point. Now here's where the Apostle John makes an interesting admission. He writes at the beginning of chapter 2, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." In the previous chapter, he had written that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is no liar. If He says He's going to do something, He does it. Now, that's not to say that we can be without sin in this life. That's not what it's saying at all. The Holy Spirit, writing through John, recognizes that we are not without sin in this world. Augustine, an early Christian, once said something to the effect of, "To have sin is one thing, to sin is another." Well, John's not saying that we can be completely without sin, at least not in this lifetime. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." And if we're speaking truthfully, we admit the same thing. We admit that we have fallen short of God's expectations, and we too were born in sin. Like Paul, we also admit that though we want to do good, we don't always do that. And those things that we don't want to do, we end up doing. Of all the church celebrations throughout the year, there is nothing quite like the beautiful message of Easter. Each season points to it, and we get to see the lengths that God went to to assure us of our salvation. For example, in Bethlehem, we saw the Lord born in a lowly manger, in a barn. We saw him in his earthly ministry in that he often had no place to lay his head at night. On Palm Sunday, we saw him ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. In Gethsemane, we saw that he knew the rough day that was ahead of him, and we saw many times before that he made that same admission. And we saw that he knew it was necessary. And on Good Friday, we saw that exactly what he would do for sinners like us, who were not humble or contrite. We saw that the dying Christ, suffering the cruelest of punishments, had pity on us. But on Easter morning, that blessed morning, we see the empty tomb. We see that though we were once dead to sin and in bondage to it, he defeated it for us. We see that the man who came in humility was glorified, and he will come back again in that same glory. We see that though we still have the effects of sin with us, we have an advocate with the Father, and that perfect advocate is Jesus Christ. It was him who humbled himself. It was him who kept God's law and did his will. It was him who bore the sins that we commit. It was him who was perfect in every way. And it was him who was the propitiation for our sins. Not just ours, but for all people. And it's in his name that we come together, even though miles apart, and glorify him as the rescuer of all people. It's in that name that we pray. Amen.
The hymn selected for this morning's devotion is hymn 388 from the Lutheran hymnal.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight which is healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, will